Hello, it is October 17th, Wednesday morning at 9:06 a.m. My name is Nancy Ha. I'm sitting with Amy Maka. If you want to introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Amy Maka. I'm a freshman at JMU.
It's so exciting. All right, so what are you studying, Amy?
I'm studying health sciences right now.
Very cool.
With a pre-med minor.
Very cool. Nice. So looking at med school after.
Yeah, hopefully. I'm trying to see if I can get to Hopkins later on. Yeah, it's a big goal.
Holy moly. Yeah. Wow. I have to, like, stop myself from saying anything profane. We also might want to speak up just a little bit.
Okay.
Just in case. But, Amy, when and where were you born?
So I was born May 17th, 1999, and I was born in Guatemala City in Guatemala. Oh,
very cool. Very cool. 1999. Wow. I was born in 97. Oh, so okay, just like,
so 2 years.
Yeah, just 2 years, but it feels like forever. very cool. I was born in Leesburg, so okay. I'm from Northern Virginia. Yeah. And so you already said you're a first year and that you're studying health sciences with a pre-med because you're going to be a doctor.
Yeah.
So why did you choose that track of study?
So before I was doing biology, but in high school I hated biology. I ended up hating it, so I switched my major to health sciences because I still wanted to go on that medical track.
Yeah.
So I chose health sciences just because I thought it'd be a much better fit for what I wanted to do without such a concentration on biology. I do like to help people as well, so
yeah,
I hope to do that with that major.
Absolutely. And you said that it's a better fit for what you hope to do. What does that kind of look like?
So I hope to obviously be a doctor. I want to go into surgery.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. If I don't go into surgery, I do really want to work with kids in whatever field it is. Yeah.
You remind me so much of my roommate. He's also pre-med. He wants to work with kids, too. Very cool. So I'm going to scooch this one. There we go. So where is home for you?
So for me, home is wherever my family is. So right now that's back in Centerville, Virginia.
Nova.
So we've been there for a while, so that's where my home is.
Very cool. Did you go to school in Centerville, too?
I did, yeah. I went to Centerville High School.
Centerville High School, very cool. Yeah, I went to Stonebridge because I'm from Leesburg, Ashburn area. But Centerville's pretty close to me, too, so nice. So a little bit about JMU. Was JMU your first choice?
It actually wasn't, just because, I don't know, I didn't think it'd be the right fit for me. I'd never seen it either, like I'd never seen campus.
Okay, yeah.
And I just didn't, for me, diversity was like a big component into choosing my school. And I just didn't think JMU was it, but I applied anyway. And I did come to visit, and I loved it, so. And I was completely wrong about diversity, too.
I don't know if you're that far off. It is a predominantly white school.
But I just didn't think I'd meet, like, other people that were just different. I thought everyone would be white, but I have made a lot of different friends here, so.
That's really cool, especially since it's only been, like, 2 months now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Oh, it's so exciting because you know I'm a senior and I'm just like my time is ending but yours is beginning and it's just really exciting. JMU wasn't my first choice either. I wanted to go to William & Mary but I didn't get in. It's fine though because I love JMU, like I wouldn't do it differently. Wonderful. So you already talked a little bit about like what made you choose JMU. Was it strange to kind of like not tour the campus and then be here? Like, how was that transition?
Yeah, so I actually didn't see campus until orientation, so I had already decided to come to JMU, but, like, kind of blindsided.
Yeah.
At orientation, I was really nervous, but I saw how, like, nice everyone was here. The environment is intense. It's really, like, laid back, yet everyone's focused on academics, so I really like that mix. There's also a lot of stuff to do here. Like, there's UREC. There's a lot of different clubs to get involved in, so that's why I liked JMU.
Nice. Very cool. How do you just like the university so far? I know you're just talking about, like, there's so much to do here. Mm-hmm. What are kind of the things that you've gravitated towards?
So right now, like the one thing I am the most involved in is LSA, which is Latina Student Alliance. Yeah, so I really, really love that organization. I've made so many friends through that. They're almost like another family here. Yeah. I've become so close to them, so that's my biggest. I've tried to become involved with like pre-med associations and little like hobby stuff like ASL club, just to kind of explore little things.
Do you speak sign language?
No, I don't. I used to know like the alphabet, but I forgot.
I thought I knew how to name my, or spell my name in ASL, and then my roommate was like, you know, that's not right. It's like, dang.
Yeah, I know like words here and there, but it's nothing like I'm fluent in it or anything like that, yeah.
Yeah, that's really cool though. I'm really glad to hear that you've found such like a community in LSA. They're just an incredible organization. Cindy Fuentes is not still the president, right?
No, I believe she's still in the club.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Last year, I just remember she commented on an Instagram post that Seamus had put me in, and she said that I was so cool, and I about died inside. I was like, oh my God, Cindy thinks I'm cool. But yeah, it's just incredible. Cool. So what is a typical day as a first-year student at JMU look like for you?
So it's pretty, like, plain. I wake up, I go to classes, have lunch with friends. In between time, like, I either, like, you know, get a study group, study, do homework, and then if I have free time, we might just go somewhere to hang out a little bit. There aren't many places we can hang out this month. We don't have cars yet.
Oh, that's so a mood. Yeah,
so we're kind of restricted to be on campus.
I forgot about that when you're a first year, that you're pretty much on campus.
Campus the whole time, but every once in a while we, like, have friends that have cars, so we'll go out and venture out into Harrisonburg a little bit.
What's your favorite dining hall?
E-Hall?
I'd have to say E-Hall. That's the most valid choice.
Yeah. I feel like they have more variety than D-Hall. I don't know. I don't know. D-Hall has the same thing every day.
I think D-Hall is very hyped.
It is.
And it just doesn't live up to it.
It does. I mean, there's a lot there, but just...
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. It's more for the idea of D-Hall than the food. Yeah. But yeah, no, I lived in Shenandoah my first year, so E-Hall was like... 24/7. It's great. It was a good time. I know you just said that you haven't really gotten too much of an opportunity to like go out and explore Harrisonburg, but from what you have experienced, how do you like it so far?
I really like it. I thought it was gonna be like in the middle of nowhere and I wasn't gonna have anything.
I mean, we have a Sheetz. We have two Sheetz.
Yeah, you have two Sheetz. It kind of has everything you need. Like, there's Walmart, like, Target, there's Chipotle, too. I found a few, like, Latino restaurants, so there's a good variety that's just going on here.
I'm trying to remember the one that I really like. It's over by Eastern Mennonite University's campus. I cannot remember the name for the life of me, though. It starts with an M. It's really good. I'll try to remember and text you, because it's a great place. But yeah, have you explored, like, at all, like downtown or anything like that?
No, I've wanted to go downtown. I know, my like, during Frog Week, my frog group went, but that week was just so exhausting that, like, and they went, like, towards the end of the day, so I just went to, like, sleep instead of go, so I haven't gotten the chance to go yet.
And it's, like, they schedule it so that you're doing, like, the really intense Where I'm From poems. And then it's like, oh yeah, now we're just going to go downtown and walk around and have fun. And it's like, wait a minute. Yeah. I need a moment, you know? Yeah. I was a frog last year. So I know that struggle from both sides. Great, though. I mean, you have so much time. If you want to explore it more, you have, like, all the time in the world, which is great. Cool. So I'd really like to ask like a little bit about your family life. Sure. And so what I lost my train of thought, even though I literally have questions to go off of. Do you have siblings?
I do. I have one little brother, so I'm the oldest.
How old is your little brother?
He's 15.
That's how old my little brother is.
Really?
Yes.
That's crazy. So he just started high school. He's in like some weird little phase right now.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird because he's kind of like looking up to me for questions now and different things, like not just academics, but like just life too. And it's a little weird. But he's super smart. He's much smarter than I am for sure, which I'm jealous of, but it's fine.
Honestly though, same. My little brother's just really, really smart.
Yeah. He's super responsible. Like, he's the complete opposite of what I was as a kid.
Oh, wow.
For sure. He's already, like, thinking about what college he wants to go to.
Wow.
He wants to go to Yale. So, he has big aspirations.
Holy moly. Oh, my gosh. That's incredible.
Yeah.
Wow. Good luck to him. Yeah. That's, like, I get goosebumps hearing, like, things like this. Do you find, I know being on campus for me, like being away from my little brother is like really hard for me because I'm really close to him. Yeah. Do you like find that you feel that too? Or how do you navigate that?
Yeah, so it was really hard at first, especially like the first week. So when I first moved in, like my parents left me this envelope with like letters from all my family, like wishing me luck in college.
Oh my gosh.
So in those letters, there was one included from him. He was just like, oh, thank you for like the past 15 years. Like, thank you for all the rides and all that stuff. And so that made me like really miss him because we did do a lot of stuff together once I did get my car and stuff like that. We started to spend a lot more time, especially now that we're older. We don't fight as much as we did like when we were younger. So we get a lot better along. I do miss him, but we text every day. There's FaceTime too, so it's not as hard as it was at the beginning.
That's something that I think when I got here as a first year, I was like, oh, I miss my family, or not my family, I miss my siblings, like, a lot. But hey, FaceTime exists, you know, like Snapchat exists. The blessings of technology, right? You mentioned that your, like, entire family, like, wrote notes. Do you have, like, a really, like, large immediate family?
I do. They're not all here, though. I only have a small amount of my family here. Most of them are back in Guatemala.
Yeah.
So my dad, I don't know how, he managed to get letters from them, too. So, yeah, it's a big, big family.
That's so special, though, that he was able to get letters, even though they're not here, too.
Yeah. It made me just homesick a lot more, though. Yeah. I was like, you guys really have to do this to me.
Wow.
But yeah, my family's huge. My dad has, like, three other siblings. So does my mom. So I got... And then they each have a bunch of children, so it's just a huge, huge family.
Wow. Yeah. So, here, wait. I'm just going to move this a little closer.
Go ahead.
Because I'm so paranoid about noise. or sound.
Yeah.
But, so, would you be able to... Well, no, we'll get to that. Do you have pets?
I have one hamster. She's, I think, a year and a half old now. Or maybe going on 2 years. I do really want a dog, though, but...
That's something that I keep thinking about. Like, I'm graduating soon. That means I can finally get pets.
Yeah. Like, I know. Some people on camp, like, that go here have pets where they live. So I'm like, maybe. But then, like, I can barely feed myself. How am I going to feed a dog?
I honestly looked up last night how to get an emergency support animal. Oh, you know, like a service dog, right? So it's like, that would be incredible.
Yeah,
but it's a process. But, wow, a hamster. That's great. I honestly thought about getting rats this summer.
Really?
Which is, like, similar, I guess, rodents, like, whatever. But I couldn't end up doing it because, like, things in my life are going to change. So, yeah. Yeah. But, okay. So done with the pets. Back to your, family though. Can you, talk a little bit about your mom's side of the family?
So my mom's family, she has two sisters, and one brother. Both of her parents are together as well. Only her brother is married and the rest aren't married yet. So gotcha. It's kind of smaller on that side of her family. Yeah.
Is she, oldest, middle?
My mom is the oldest.
Oldest. Yeah. Wow, so
yeah. Her childhood was a mess.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you want to,
elaborate?
You can speak to that if you want to.
Yeah. So when she was younger, so my grandma was always working. I don't really know what my grandpa was like during that time. But my grandma was always working, trying to get like her four children like well maintained. Yeah. So my mom, she'd go to school and then she'd come home and she'd have to like take care of all her little siblings, which was like a really diverse age group. Like there was one that was really close to her age. The other one is like 4 years apart and the other one was like a little baby. So, yeah, so she really had to just come home and take care of them. And then as soon as she'd get done with that, like, she'd have to, like, find time to do her schoolwork, which was a lot more intensive back in Guatemala because it's kind of weird, the system over there. Like, if I could explain it, like, let's say you were in sixth grade, you get almost, like, the amount of schoolwork you get as a senior in high school.
Interesting.
It's a lot heavier over there, so she almost had no life before she even met my dad. Yeah.
Not really time for herself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why do you think they do that in terms of schoolwork?
Schoolwork. I don't know. I think part of it is just because the gang violence drug is so prevalent there. So maybe it's to kind of just keep them from involving themselves in stuff like that.
Yeah.
And keep them busy with schoolwork. But it's so intense to the point that you almost get no life during your school year. It's hard.
Or maybe even to anticipate, like, the idea that, like, students might leave, and to give them, like, enough information before.
Yeah.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, but it's crazy.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Yeah.
Do you know a little bit more about your grandma? Do you want to, like...
Grandma? I actually don't know much about her.
Yeah.
Trying to think back on it.
Yeah.
I don't kind of just know, like, the lineage, but...
Yeah.
As far as her life, I just remember she used to work at a liquor store at one point. And they used to run a liquor store with her dad. But that's about as much as I know.
Huh. In Guatemala, she ran a liquor store?
In Guatemala, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
So how did your mom meet your dad?
They met through church, actually, yeah. It was the funniest story.
Now you gotta tell it, because I can see how happy you're getting, like, thinking about this.
So, they've known each other, like, almost their whole lives. Like, they were 16, 17 when they first met each other. And my dad was kind of, like, the youth leader at the church. And then, so, my dad had been trying to, like, date my mom ever since that young age, but my mom was like, no, like, I don't like you. My grandma was, like, a huge supporter of my dad, too. She was always, like, pushing, like, come on, like, give him a chance. But my mom was so judgmental. She was like, he's too fat, which he wasn't even fat, in my opinion. Like, I see pictures of him. He was pretty slim, so I don't know. I mean, my mom was, like, the skinniest girl, too, so maybe that's why. But yeah, later on, like, then my dad became a pastor at 21.
Wow.
My dad tried again. So there was one time that he just, like, called up at her house. And, my mom's dad answered. He was like, who's this? And he was like, he played, like, the pastor card. He was like, this is a pastor. Like, I'm just like, can I speak to your daughter? And my grandpa,
he's being
like,
sneaky.
Yeah, so my grandpa was, like, going crazy. He was like, oh my God, the pastor's calling my daughter. So my they finally went on a date. My mom tells me that they went on, like, a little ice cream date, and that my mom was so upset because she said that she hadn't eaten that day because she thought he was going to take her to, like, some dinner or something like that.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So they went on dates, and then eventually they got engaged, and they got married. So, yeah.
Wow.
That's how they met.
That's so cute and so interesting, kind of like the idea that the church played a huge role in like bringing them together. Do you how do you feel like religion influences your family life?
So it's a really, really big part of our lives, especially because my dad's a pastor.
He's still a pastor.
So basically, like, I went to Sunday. I went to church every Sunday. Like, I could count the amount of like Sundays I missed like in one hand until I got to college. Like, it was every Sunday. There was like the world could be falling apart and we'd still go to church. But I feel like we had that good balance between being really, really, like, having God as a part of our lives, but also just not letting that consume our lives either. Because I know in Latino culture, like, there are some, like, very religious people, and it's just, like, their whole life, like, there's certain things they don't do.
Yeah.
Because, like, they let that restrict living a normal life. So I think we found that good balance of just living our life. But also being, like, I guess, righteous in the eyes of God. Yeah.
Yeah. I went to a Catholic school for 9 years. Really? So I definitely know that feeling of every Sunday going to church, no matter what.
Yeah.
I obviously don't know it from the Latino perspective because I'm not Latino, right? So I'm kind of interested, what are some of the things that you think, because you mentioned that there's some Latinos that won't do certain things because of religion. can you speak a little more to that?
Yeah, so there's, I guess, like a certain like denomination that's called like Pentecostal.
Yeah.
So I know for in Latino culture, like, they can't cut their hair. The women always have to wear skirts to a certain length. In some churches, they can't wear makeup. In, like, some extremes, like, they just even see, like, because I know with males, like, soccer is such a, like, a thing. They see soccer as, like,
call it what
thing.
It is. It's football.
No. It's football, yeah.
It's football.
Yeah, but they would consider that as, like, a sin, like, watching soccer.
Wow.
Yeah, just simple things like that. So, listening to certain music, like, so,
yeah.
It's a little intense, But I think we found, like, that good, like, my dad loves soccer, but we still love God. Like, and, like, you know, there's, like, there's no correlation.
Yeah. I feel like I could, like, compare and contrast these things forever. Like, I'm thinking in my head about this one teacher I had who told us that she would make her son walk all the way around the other side of a mall to avoid a Victoria's Secret so that he wouldn't be, like, tempted by the photos that he saw, you know, and just like altering your life in that way. It's just interesting. So do you want to talk a little bit more about your dad's side of the family, because it sounds like he's the bigger side of the family?
So he's the youngest out of four, so he's the baby.
So is my dad.
So that makes him, I think that was a big part in forming his personality too. He's like a little like spoiled, I guess, in like a sense and personality. But he has two older sisters and an older brother, so he's the oldest. They're all married. There's my grandpa and my grandma, and I have a bunch of cousins on that side too. They each had like four kids.
Are they similar in age to you?
They are. But there's also some older ones. I know I have like a couple cousins that are like back to back. So one was like born in March, the other one in April, and then there was me. So it's like a little chain of cousins that came about. And then some of my cousins have had kids themselves, so it's growing.
Would you say the majority of them are in Guatemala, or?
They are. I did have, so I have my uncle is here. I did have an aunt that also lived here, but she retired with my uncle, her husband, back to Guatemala, so.
Interesting.
Most of them are back over there.
Huh. What do you kind of know about your dad's parents?
So I know it was almost like a similar story to how my parents met. Like, I know my grandma wasn't about, like, she wasn't attracted to my grandpa at all. I know they came from, like, very different backgrounds. Yeah. I know, like, my grandfather was more from, like, I guess a poor family, and my mom, my grandma was from a wealthier side of the family. Oh. So, yeah.
Interesting. I also forgot to ask this earlier. What are your parents' names?
Oh, so my dad's name is Wilson, and my mom's name is Patty. Yeah.
Cool. I immediately just thought of the volleyball, I think it is, or the... There's some, like, pop culture reference to, like, an inanimate object named Wilson. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I think I know what you're
talking. It's, like, the guy's, like, marooned on an island, and he, like, draws, like, a coconut or a volleyball or something. My professor's gonna listen to this recording and know it, but... cool. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. I kind of want to shift gears a little bit towards education. What we already talked a little bit about your mom's education. I know, and your dad was a pastor. So did he go to school formally?
Yeah, so before becoming a pastor, he was in college to become an architect.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so
it's very different.
Yeah, it was very, very different. But there was this thing at my grandmother's church where the pastor, I guess, retired, and they needed, like, just a temporary one, so... They chose my dad to be the temporary one, and he just became permanently that. He felt like he had a calling from God, yeah. So that he chose that as a career. He did plan to continue with architecture, but I guess just funds that weren't allowing him to do that. So he did go to, like, a seminar, and he got, like, I guess, a religion education.
Yeah, did... Did either of your parents get college degrees?
No, they did not.
Are you the first?
I am first generation college, yes.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Oh,
there's a lot of pressure, but it's exciting.
Yeah, we can, do you want to talk, we don't have to talk about that if you want to, but if you want to speak to that, yeah.
So, it was just hard applying to colleges because, especially, like, even if they had gotten a college education back in Guatemala, I was first to do it here.
Yeah.
In the U.S. So it was just, the whole process was confusing. I just didn't understand, like, what were the differences between colleges, like, why did it matter?
Yeah.
Cost was also crazy. Like, I just didn't know how we were going to fund that. It was just difficult going through high school, not knowing exactly what to do. Because I know a lot of my peers, they have... their parents to kind of guide them through, like, hey, take these classes, they'll help you.
Yeah, or siblings.
Yeah, they'll help you be a better, like, prospect to get into certain colleges, so yeah. I didn't have that. Choosing colleges was also a challenge. I know in choosing James Madison, like, that was the biggest, like, challenge we had between our family, because in Latino culture, like, everyone stays together.
Yeah.
It's very rare for somebody to leave at such a young age until they're married. So they really wanted me to stay, like, in Mason. But I just didn't feel like Mason was something for me.
My older sister went to Mason. Yeah, you really wanted to come to Madison. Did you feel like your family pressured you to stay? You just said that, actually.
Yeah, so they did. Yeah. There was a huge, huge pressure from them. At one point, they were like, you have no choice. You're going to Mason. So I was really upset about that. So I kind of, like, worked towards to make sure I went to Madison. So I ended up coming with a whole plan. So I had my FAFSA, but still with it, it wasn't enough to pay for a JMU.
Yeah.
So I did come up with a plan to just get two jobs over the summer to help me come to Madison. So with that, my parents, like, just realized that I really wanted to go to Madison, and we talked it through, and here I am now.
Yeah.
They're super excited about me being in Madison, though. They see now why I chose Madison over Mason.
It's a very different feel.
It is.
Yeah.
They were just worried, I guess, that I wouldn't do well on my own, but my dad did tell me, like, he realized that during orientation that I'd be so much better off here. There were so many more opportunities for me to do in following the career that I wanted to follow. Yeah. So I have their full support now.
Yeah. That's so nice. Yeah. It's incredible. So back on this theme of education, what was your kind of elementary, middle school, high school experience?
So elementary was kind of all over the place, because I did start my education back in Guatemala.
Okay, we'll get there, so maybe.
Okay, so let's skip over that.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's skip over that and come back. So I did do that for a while. Then I started my education here in first grade. We moved a lot just because, I don't know why we moved a lot, but I remember going to different elementary schools almost every single grade.
Wow.
So, yeah, we moved a lot.
Yeah.
Then it kind of, like, plateaued once I got to middle school. Like, we finally, like, we bought a house and we stayed in one place. And then high school was pretty solid, too. I stayed in one place. I would say elementary school was the hardest just because that's when I was learning English and stuff like that. And trying to, like, assimilate, I guess. So
that's a key word, huh?
Yeah. So that was a challenging time.
So, I don't want to cut you off.
No, that's okay. I was just going to say middle school and high school were better compared to that.
That's good to hear. And good to know you got through it, right? Yeah. So I think that brings us naturally to, like, your immigration story. So how did your parents come to find Virginia? Like, why here?
Virginia?
Yeah.
So I mentioned before that I had an uncle. So he lived here. So we specifically chose Virginia because we would we thought we would have aid from him. We kind of, like, fell through. Because we were hoping, so we were going to move here, and then he had a house that we would be able to rent. But that kind of fell through, so it was a little hard, like, finding a house afterwards. It ended up working out, but that's why we chose Virginia, specifically.
Because your uncle is here.
Yeah.
And he was in Northern Virginia?
Yeah, he lived in Chantilly at the time. So.
Gotcha. How did he, do you know how he came to North Virginia?
I don't, actually. I want to say he was involved in the military.
In the military?
But I feel like I have that mixed up with some other
uncle. Too many uncles?
I'm not sure.
Yeah. So, can you talk a little bit about, like, the physical journey from Guatemala to Virginia?
Yeah, so it was a plane ride.
It was a plane ride, yeah.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to not have to go through the whole, I guess, like, when most people think of immigration with Latinos, it's like crossing the border and going through that whole, like, hardship of having to do that. But I was lucky to just hop on a plane and get over here.
And did you take the plane out of Guatemala City?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And then I think we did, like, a layover somewhere, and then we got to Virginia. Yeah.
How old were you?
I was 6 years old at the time.
Oh my gosh, you're just a baby.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So, do you remember anything about your perception of the U.S.?
So, as a little kid, I didn't really know much about the U.S., just because, I guess, like, at the time, there wasn't as much technology as there is now.
Yeah.
So my perceptions were basically kind of just like, oh, U.S., like, there's Disney World.
There's Disney World, that's it.
That's, like, all I thought. I was like, Disney World. And then I remember when I did live in Guatemala, like, when my uncle would visit, he'd bring, like, all these, like, cool toys from here. And I just thought, like, oh, there's cool toys over there. And blonde people, that's what I thought too. I thought everyone was blonde and with blue eyes. I remember they told me, like, everyone's super tall over there. Because in Guatemala, everyone's pretty short. Like,
so, that's so interesting.
Yeah, that those are, like, just the few perceptions I had. I didn't have a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how did it feel leaving?
It was hard just because my whole family was there. I had both sets of grandparents who spoiled me to death. So leaving was really hard. I remember the day we came over here, they dropped us off at the airport, and I thought we were just going to, like, visit the U.S., like, kind of really processed that we were, yeah, like, leaving permanently. It was just hard, though, I remember. Because then I did realize I wouldn't see them for a while. Like, we weren't sure if we'd see them again. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, it doesn't sound like your parents sat you down and told you.
No. They kind of just mentioned it. I kind of got the idea because we were packing everything. It was kind of confusing at the time, like, why we were packing all of our stuff at our house, yeah, like, why we were giving away furniture. It was weird. I don't remember it as well anymore.
Yeah, because you were six.
Yeah, I was six, and yeah.
Wow. Do you know anything about kind of, like, why they decided to leave, when they decided to leave?
So I know now because my dad, he puts it a lot in his sermons. So the reason we moved was because he thought he had, like, a calling from God. So back in Guatemala, he had a big, big church. So he felt like God had told him to come over here and start, you know, a Latino community here with a church and start one here. So that's why we came over here, so we could reach out to those who maybe didn't have a church they could go to. So
wow. That's why. What did your mom think?
So at first, my mom was a little hesitant, obviously, because her family was there.
Yeah.
So she would have to leave them behind. But they ended up, my mom just ended up saying, like, you know what, it doesn't matter where we go as long as us four stay together. So she told him, as long as we could all go together like that, it was fine. So they ended up coming to an agreement, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like that also just puts the whole idea of going to GMU versus JMU in, like, a whole different context, too.
Yeah.
What was I going to ask? You talked about how you thought there was only Disney Worlds here. Yeah. That you thought everybody was tall and blonde and blue-eyed. Yeah. What do you think now?
I obviously think that's not true anymore. There's a lot of diversity. There's short people, too. I was definitely shocked when I saw, like, a white person with brown hair. I was like, and with, like, brown eyes. Yeah, yeah. I was like, what? This, like, happens? I learned that there wasn't just white people, too, though, that there were a lot of other immigrants as well, or just children of immigrants. So it's not as just one mold. It's a lot more diverse, especially now.
I don't want to cut you off, sorry.
No, it's fine.
Where did this, like, stereotype of Americans come from?
I have no idea. It's kind of a big stereotype in Guatemala, though. Like, that's the one thing everyone thinks. I know when I go back to visit, everyone thinks, like, oh, so how's everyone, like, the blonde, like, white, blue-eyed people. I'm like, well, there's different people over there. Not everyone's the same. I know they just think that, like, everyone's the same, though. That's the thing that just goes around whenever somebody talks about the U.S. And somebody from the U.S., that's, like, the stereotypical, like, person they describe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was I going to ask? it just left my mind. I'm blanking, but if I think about what I wanted to ask, I'll ask you again. So what do you wish people knew about Guatemala in the U.S.? Oh, I remember what I wanted to ask, but, okay. you're making me think of this, like, this struggle between, like, what does the word American mean?
Yeah.
So what is that, like, what does that mean to you?
So now it means somebody, not necessarily somebody that's white or born here. I just feel like it's somebody who just, like, identifies this as somewhere that they feel they're at home. Just someone that, you know, not like the typical, like, patriotic, like, oh, USA, USA. You know, there's different types of Americans. Yeah. I guess just, I don't know.
Yeah. I'm wondering what your take is on this idea that American applies to, like, both North and South America, you know?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I always thought it was interesting how when people said American, they instantly think of the United States.
Yeah.
When technically I could be an American and somebody from Brazil could be an American too. Yeah. So I just always thought it was weird that how that's become like a predominant idea.
Yeah. How do, in your experience, how do Guatemalans kind of like reconcile with that?
With the whole, like,
with like this, like, term, you know, like, how do they see themselves, like, do they see themselves needing to fit into this word, like,
I don't think so, I think we're just happy being who we are.
Just doing you.
Yeah, yeah. I think we're not so stuck on, like, fitting the certain label, just as much as just, like, living our culture the way it is, like. Normal lives and
yeah. That was not to make it sound like you speak for all Guatemalans. Right. I was just generally curious what you thought about it. But okay, so back to the question that I just asked, though, what do you wish people in the U.S. knew about Guatemala?
So I feel like when people talk about Guatemala, I feel like the first perception is like poverty, because there are a lot of like mission trips and people that go to Guatemala and help.
Volunteers.
Yeah. Or they think of it. I know there was a song that came out like Guatemala. It was like a rap song. So I feel like they just think about that too. I just wish they knew like it's not all like that. Like there's like a beautiful place to me, to be honest. They call it like the land of eternal spring because there's always beautiful weather.
Oh, wow.
There's a lot of nature over there, a lot of beautiful places to visit, and there's a lot of good food, so I just wish they knew that, you know, it's more than just, I guess, poverty, like, that's just a small part of what it actually is. There's so much more to Guatemala than just that.
Cool. So you already talked about how when you came to the U.S., you had to learn English. I'm wondering if you could talk about navigating that language barrier from, like, what you remember, because, again, you were, like, six.
Yeah.
So speaking to that language barrier, both, like, in the education system, but also, like, how did your family kind of deal with that transition?
Right. For me, it was definitely easier to learn English just because I was going to school here, so I was just surrounded by English the whole time.
Yeah.
I remember it being really hard so I went in here when I was in first grade. Having, like, spelling tests was hard to me. I remember, like two really distinctive things I remember from when I was little is just, like, not being able to spell because or the... Like, I remember having to spell the, and I'd spell it D-A, and I just wouldn't understand why there was a T-H-E. I was like, how does this work? Like, English is so weird.
It is. You're not wrong. It is.
Because I remember spelling it, like, B-E-C-U-Z. Like.
Yeah.
And I was just, when I was learning how to spell everything, I was like, this is, like, crazy. Like, why isn't it just the way it sounds? Because in Spanish, you say the word... It's exactly how it sounds. Like, you spell it the way it sounds.
Yeah.
So that was definitely difficult for me. I remember there was a kid in my class who did speak Spanish, so they did pair us up to kind of have him as an aide and help me kind of navigate through learning English. I did have help from some friends that were my age and were also Latino. I know my teacher, she was white, but I remember, like, she did her best to try and incorporate me into her class. I remember, like, she used to kind of, like, say some Italian words to me in an attempt to kind of, like...
Connect, yeah.
So it was very similar to Spanish, so I understood what she was trying to say. But I did learn fairly quickly. By second grade, I could navigate pretty well through English. There were, like, a few words here and there and a couple, like, grammar mistakes, but...
Yeah.
It was definitely a lot more, much better than when I first started.
Yeah. How about your, like, your parents?
Yeah, so I know
Wilson
from
Wilson and Patty.
Wilson and Patty, yeah. I know it was much more difficult for them just because they were older.
Yeah.
So my mom, her first job was as a waitress. As a hostess, I believe, actually. So she had to learn English for that purpose. It was difficult for her, too, but she found her way through. My dad, he learned through a church we had. So there was, like, an ESL program, so that's how he learned English. And now he's actually an English teacher at that same program, which I think is the coolest thing, how, like, he was a student, and now he's a teacher, teaching other adults how to speak English. Yeah. So, yeah.
I was wondering if the church was going to come up, because I was like, I feel like a lot of programs like that, at least in Ashburn and Leesburg, are based out of the churches.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
There was a church, like, directly in front of our house, and we actually really became involved in that church.
Oh, wow.
Through that ESL program. At that church, he's the... I want to say international missions pastor person there, so it's crazy how the roles have switched from when we first got here to now. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. I know that this was a while back, but I remember the restaurant title of the Spanish restaurant in Harrisonburg. It's La Morena.
Oh, okay.
Really good.
I'll make sure to miss
really
it.
Really good. Okay, sorry. So, great. That also brings me to this idea, though, because, like, you had to learn English, your family had to learn English, relying on, well, not relying on, but utilizing, like, resources that you had around you, you know, with friends and the church. It just brings me back to this idea of assimilation, and I'm kind of, I'm kind of wondering if you can speak to that.
How assimilation was for me.
Yeah, like, what do you make of this, like, idea?
So, for me, assimilating was very weird, because I remember having a different culture back there. So, like, when we greet each other, like, with a hug and, like, a kiss on the cheek. And that's, like, completely normal. So when I got here and that wasn't the norm, it felt a little weird. Also, just, like, clothing-wise, it wasn't much different, but I realized here that, like, having brand names was very, like, important.
Yeah, a status symbol.
Yeah, like a status symbol. You had to wear, like, certain clothes to seem a certain way, so that was very hard for me in the beginning. It's become a lot easier now, I guess, just because it's not as important to me, like, or to anybody else's. For that matter, I feel like people were just a lot more judgmental back then, and now they're a lot more understanding. But that's how assimilation was.
Interesting. Yeah, I know, because the class that I'm taking for this whole project is Latinos in U.S. History, and one of the things that we're learning about right now is that assimilation came through in, like, the 1920s, you know, like, kind of way back, but not really, less than 100 years ago, came through in terms of diet and, like, eating and kind of stuff like that. And I'm wondering if that relates to you at all. Yeah.
It's the same thing as well. So when I first got, like, kind of with the culture thing, I know, like, back in Guatemala, like, a normal thing was to have, like, a sandwich with, like refried beans. But that was a normal thing. If I had that here, it would seem, like, I guess, like, kind of disgusting to other kids.
Yeah.
there's just certain foods that were just so different from, like, American foods or United States food.
Virginia foods.
Like, you know, the kids would have, like, Lunchables or, like, ham and cheese sandwiches, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches I didn't even know existed until I got here.
It's probably for the best.
Yeah, that was, like, the weirdest combination when I first got here. I was like, what?
That makes no sense.
That doesn't make sense.
Are peanuts not a big thing in Guatemala?
They are, just not in, like, the peanut butter form.
Oh.
It's weird, actually. Like, we get peanut, like, when we go back, we get, like, requests to bring peanut butter.
That's something I've heard, no, yeah. Something one of my friends is Peruvian, and she says that a lot, yeah, is that she'll bring her.
Yeah, there's no, like, peanut butter, which... Huh. It's kind of weird, but there just isn't. It's not a thing.
That's so strange.
Yeah.
Cool. So, yeah, we just talked about assimilation. So, I guess we're kind of coming up towards the end of, like, this whole interview shindig. Mm-hmm. I'm really wondering about your take on current events. And so, how do you kind of feel about the current climate towards immigration in the U.S.?
So, I feel like people are really, like, either, like, left or right.
Yeah, polarized, yeah.
Yeah, and I feel like the climate is definitely, like, very tense right now with that. But I see where some people come, like, where their strong opinions come from as far as not letting immigrants come in. I guess, like, illegal immigrants, like, I would see why they would think they'd bring crime and stuff like that, but it's such a small percentage that I just believe that it just shouldn't be such a, like, there shouldn't be such backlash against them, because I know not just Latino immigrants, but from different countries are just coming here to seek, like, refuge and just a safe environment to be in. So I just definitely think that immigration shouldn't be, like, we shouldn't be trying to restrict it. I think maybe there should be, like, just certain, I guess, like, policies, like, to make sure those who are trying to bring, like, crime in or bad things into the U.S., like, there should just be something to, I guess, filter against that, but also let those who want just somewhere safe to be or just have a better life than what they had back in their own home countries to be able to just come here.
Yeah, like, have a path to citizenship.
Yeah.
Do you identify as a U.S. citizen?
Not yet.
Not yet?
Become a citizen this year. Yeah.
That's so exciting!
Yeah, it's exciting.
Yes!
We're gonna start the process soon.
Good luck! Yes! Oh my gosh. Yeah. That's incredible. Good luck with everything.
Thank you.
So, I feel like this is, like, I'm an international affairs major, right? Latin America is my concentration. And so, one of my immediate thoughts is recognizing that Mexico has stricter immigration policies towards Central America than the U.S. does. And I'm kind of wondering if you, like, would, like, be able to speak to Mexico-Guatemala relations. But it's also, like, this is just pure curiosity from my end. Right. So, like...
actually don't know a lot of the relations. I do know, like, a small fragment of history that there was, like, some, like, conflict between Mexico and Guatemala that they're really close, and I know, like, I know the bottom part of Mexico is supposed to be a part of Guatemala, but there was, like, this whole fight over it about whether it would go to Guatemala or Mexico. So there's just, there's still somewhat of tension over that, because there is some, like, historical landmarks in that tip of Mexico, which we would argue would be from Guatemala, like, part of Guatemalan culture.
Do you mean, like, the Yucatan Peninsula and stuff like that?
Yeah, stuff like that. So there's still some tension towards that. I know even, like, Mexicans, like Mexican people and Guatemalan people just, like, have tension just because of that, which I think is weird, because even if they don't directly relate to that, like, they have that overarching, like, conflict, I guess.
When you I don't know. Do you still feel that, like, tension in the U.S., like, when you meet other Latinos that are, like, from Mexico?
Yeah. No, I don't actually, like, I think it's weird that they have that weak tension. I mean, like, people that are Mexican, and I don't have that, like, resentment towards them because it wasn't something that was in their hands or something that was in my hands either, so... Yeah. And it was in the past, too, and it doesn't relate to the person they are either, so...
That's so interesting. Yeah. Cool, thank you for sharing that. I know that was, like, a very, like, random question. okay, so I guess since we are kind of coming up on time, I have two questions that I really want to ask you. Like, I know the future is hard to visualize, but what are you most looking forward to in the future? And this could be, like, personal life, like, citizenship status things, JMU, John Hopkins, like...
So my biggest, like, thing is Hopkins, actually. It's a big pressure, definitely now. I can't even imagine what I'm gonna do to try and get in there. But I'm definitely excited, even if I don't go to Hopkins, just going through medical school and seeing where my career goes.
Yeah.
I'm definitely excited about what I'm going to do. And I just hope to be the kind of surgeon to, like, I really want to do research and be innovative. I don't just want to be a regular surgeon that just does regular stuff. I don't know if that makes sense. Like, I kind of want to make an impact. On the medical world in some way when I get to that point. So I'm really excited.
And I think what you were talking about, how, like, in Guatemala, when you greet people, it's so much more personal. Like, you bring that to the medical field just by virtue of, like, who you are. Yeah. So it's, like, you're definitely going to have an impact, I think. And it's really valuable to have medical professionals that are more personable, you know? Yeah, I'm so excited for you. Okay, so my last question is, looking back kind of like on your lived experience, if you could give your younger self one piece of advice, what would it be?
I think it'd be to just like do what you like.
Yeah.
Don't restrict yourself just because somebody doesn't like it or somebody that you want to like you, like whether it's a friend or a boy you like, just do whatever you want. Well, not whatever you want, like, crazy-wise, but, you know, like, you want to wear, like, certain clothes, like, go ahead, wear them. If you want to wear your hair a certain way, like, don't worry about it. I remember as a kid, like, skin tone was a big part of, like, how, like, I perceived myself. Like, I saw everyone with lighter skin, and I just remember wanting lighter skin, so that was one thing I could tell myself, too, is, like, don't worry about it. Like, it's something so small, and it's not how people see you either, so.
And also, your skin is beautiful.
Yeah, thank you.
You're, like, glowing, but. I just need you to know, but, yeah, that's incredible, just telling your younger self to just do you, you know?
Appreciate yourself.
Yeah, well, your story is just invaluable. Thank you so much for being able to sit down and talk with me. I guess, what time is it now? All right, it is 10:04. Thank you so much, Amy.
Thank you.